Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
G&D in West Palm Beach. Our coverage of National Spring Training Ball. Coming your way via Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put our team in your office. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Of course, the show, as always, is presented as well by our buddies, the law firm of Kandari and Murad. They're the official Grant and Danny Show sponsor, and they'll help protect your assets and your will and trust. Schedule a free estate planning strategy with one of their Fairfax-based attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Mention the program to get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. How many delays did you end up going through last night?
So what was fascinating is if they just said at the beginning, hey, it's a 2.5-hour delay, would have been nice. But they did it in 15 to 30-minute increments seven times. So at 8 became 8:20, 8:20 became 8:36, 8:36 became 8:58 or something like that. Just insane how they did it. I would have just been able to stay home for another couple hours.
The Capitals were also delayed to start their game yesterday.
Am I right?
Hey-o.
Did they know what time the game started?
Hey-o. Transition.
Come on.
It is time for your Beltway Blitz. We start you off on the ice, where the Capitals were at home for a huge game yesterday against theoretically an inferior team, although who would know the way the Coyotes have pummeled them twice this year. 5-2 final. Billy Johnson covers the Caps for the Washington Post. So, Billy, let's start with just right there. I mean, 5-2 loss in a massive game. They chased pretty much the entire time. What the heck happened?
It's a great question. I'm not really sure they know the answer to it either. Spencer Carberry after called it the most disappointing game he's coached this year, given the circumstances the Capitals are in, still trying to make a push for the playoffs as the trade deadline approaches. It was ugly. They have played pretty poorly against the Coyotes twice now this year, and Carberry also pointed out that those fast, skilled teams like the Coyotes are a team that gives them trouble. He said that the coaching staff talked about that before yesterday's game, which kind of sums up where the Capitals are. They're not fast enough to hang with the young, fast, skilled teams, even if those are teams that are rebuilding and maybe on paper aren't as competitive as the Capitals. The product on the ice tells a different story.
Bailey, what's going on here with Evgeny Kuznetsov? Where do the Capitals stand with him? McCollum was talking about this very much like a past tense relationship, all but terminated here. What can they get? What are they on the hook for? Just walk us through it all.
So he is officially a member of the Hershey Bears on paper. He is expected, the Bears just put out about half an hour ago, to join them for their practice tomorrow. Expected is the key word there. We'll see. I have no reporting one way or the other. Obviously, the question when a player of Kuznetsov's caliber is put on waivers and assigned to the American Hockey League is if they're actually going to show up, and the Bears are saying, we think he's going to. He's expected to practice, so that's the kind of the next step there. As far as the Capitals are concerned, McClellan talked about it being a fresh start for Kuznetsov. He's coming out of the player assistance program. He's not yet cleared to play in games. There's no timeline on when that can happen. It's all up to the people that he works with at the program and kind of their clearance process, which there's no insight into from the outside. So one day, whether it's this week or a month from now, I have no idea. There will be an email that goes out that says he's cleared to play and then he can play in games. But he is expected to be in Hershey practicing with them. It wouldn't surprise me if the Capitals are still trying to trade him before the deadline, but I also feel like they've been trying to trade him for a while now and have not gotten any bites, which is kind of what leads to this situation where he goes on waivers, goes down to Hershey to try to get him a fresh start in a different way than in a different NHL organization.
So convoluted question, like three-parter on Cousy. Number one, to what you just said, I feel like now they can take on money that they couldn't before. And they're more desperate to trade him, number one, but also with the Backstrom situation, potentially. If they wanted to trade him, they could eat a bunch of the contract, and now it's more appealing to a team, so maybe you could react to that. Number two, on the Willie, won't he show up thing, do we get the sense that he wanted to be waived for a fresh start? And he, like, it sounded to me like when Mac talked, he came to them and was kind of on board with this, which would make me think he will play ball. And then the last part is, if nothing happens by Friday and he's not traded, then what? Is he going to play for the Caps again this season or next year? What are we talking about here?
I'll go third to first and try to hit all the points that you brought up because they're all good questions. First of all, Mac didn't rule out the possibility of Kuznetsov playing for the Capitals again. Just personally, my own inclination on this situation, I think I'd be surprised if that happened. And I think it was kind of trending that way even before he went into the program. Like, it hasn't been an easy year for him here, or really an easy last couple years for him here. Things on the ice were not going well this year. He was a healthy scratch in December. Spencer Carberry had kind of reached, I don't want to say his wit's end, but when you're healthy scratching a player like Kuznetsov, that's usually a sign that things are in a tough spot in the relationship between player and team. And Mac used the word frustrating to describe how things have been. So it's very possible that Kuznetsov, I wouldn't say he asked for this, but I think in the circumstances, a fresh start in any way they could get it was appealing to both sides, and going on waivers gave him the opportunity to be claimed by another team. Obviously, none of them did, which is how he ends up in Hershey. At this point, it's kind of just a wait-and-see situation. I would be surprised, I think, if a team was willing to trade for him, given that he has another year left on his contract. I think if they were in this situation this time next year, it might be different. But given that he's owed a $2 million signing bonus, he's owed more in salary. It's a $6 million salary and a $2 million signing bonus next year than his cap hit is, which is usually a limiting factor in terms of other teams' willingness to take on that money. McClellan didn't really address the concept of buying him out, just said they would cross that bridge when they got there if they needed to this summer, but that's something that could be on the table as well.
Bailey, real quick, three enormous games for this team with playoff implications. One good, they come back against the Flyers. Two pretty bad, losing the way they did to the Red Wings, although, you know, back-to-back. And that game against the Coyotes, we're rapidly approaching trade deadline time, and with this Kuznetsov news and everything else, did that kind of tip their hand as to what they might have to do here over the next week?
Yeah, I think when Lynn McClellan talked on Saturday, their hand was kind of tipped anyway. I mean, what he gave the impression of was that they will be selling. It just kind of depends how much, based on how much they keep themselves in the mix, whether it's full, every pending UFA, every player that they could get a return for, whether it's a prospect or a pick or whatever, or whether it was maybe a more moderated sell, depending on the situation they were in. And I think Sunday's game did kind of show that, I mean, the players have been saying that they want to make the playoffs and they believe in their team, and then they come out with that kind of performance. Like, that doesn't show a lot to upper management that that's a team that thinks they can be in the playoffs. They also have just a brutal schedule after this week between a five-game swing in Western Canada. Pretty much every team they play for the rest of March after Pittsburgh and Chicago this week is a playoff team. So even if they're still in the mix on Friday, it's probably going to go downhill after that regardless. And my thought would be that since they do have a couple of days before they play again, this is the kind of time that when you look at it on the calendar, you think that's probably when moves are going to start to happen.
Much appreciate the info. Thank you, Bailey.
Thanks, Bailey.
Thanks, guys.
All right, let's keep it moving. The Wiz are in Utah to take on the Jazz, 9 o'clock tip. Their first game since they gave up a $1.40 to the Clips on Friday night. Our buddy Dave Johnson, the voice of Wizards basketball. Dave, why don't we just start with a preview of the matchup tonight? What do we need to know about the Jazz?
Well, the Jazz are a team that I think, you know, overachieved at the start, and they seem to be running out of gas, and it seems to be a great opportunity for the Wizards after 2 days off, a good practice yesterday at the UCLA in Los Angeles before we came here to Salt Lake City. And in many ways that excites me for tonight's game because, the second of a back-to-back against the Clippers, not feeling good going into that. And as you said, and it sounds nicer to say giving up $140 than $140, just didn't feel good about that, that way that game was scheduled, if you will, right after the Wizards went to overtime against the Lakers the night before. So, I think tonight the focus yesterday on practice was defensive intensity. And this is a team, and I think Kyle Kuzma, he's going to be part of our pregame show tonight, said it best that now this last 20-plus games or whatever is, seeing if they can get better as a team. There's been a lot of individual storylines, and you can measure them, and there are metrics you can show that Corey Kispert, Denny Avdija, Marvin Bagley, who's going to be part of our pregame show tonight as well. I mean, since he's been with the Wizards, he's averaging 14 points and over 8 rebounds, and he's shooting 57% from the floor. So there's all these individual storylines. Now, that's the charge and the mandate, really, when the coaching change occurred in terms of can this team get better collectively, because that's what you need to do, especially on the defensive end. And again, their top three priorities are defense, defense, defense. That's all Brian Keith talks about. That's all they drill into them. And there's actually been signs, the Clippers notwithstanding, of that response. But this has been, when you play the New Orleans and the Dallas, February is not a kind schedule. So now, again, I'm not saying go ahead and think the Wizards favorite and discount the Jazz because they are a talented team. But I feel it's more on a level playing field.
So, Dave, Lauri Markkanen is out tonight. At least that's what I'm seeing here for Utah. He's
right.
Been an all-star for them. He's been really good. And he's kind of the example I wanted to get to as it pertains to Washington. He was fine in Chicago, right? Drew drafted him.
Right.
He was playing. He was okay in Cleveland, too. Utah found something there, turned him into an all-star. That's one of the paths that nobody really talks about when it comes to, sort of building a franchise that can compete at the highest level. You look at Domantas Sabonis in Sacramento that, passed over multiple teams, and he's grown into a star in his own right. And I ask that lens both for kind of what Washington's looking for long term, but also I'm not saying he's a star yet, but someone like Marvin Bagley, a guy that's
right.
been passed over
no.
a couple times here in the league and is doing more here because maybe of an opportunity. I'd love for you to speak to that.
Yes, and it's a cliche that we talk about, and I think our listeners can relate to it's fit in opportunity. I'm not joking about this, but I mean you guys make such a wonderful team because they're such a great fit between you. And as we all know in broadcasting or whatever your profession is, the fit might not be there. And I'm not just blowing smoke. I'm just trying to bring this to, I always think of a basketball team is a lot of ways like an office. So when you talk to Marvin Bagley, he didn't forget how to play basketball, but the King situation didn't work. He gets out, he gets to Detroit and, they all of a sudden have Jalen Duren, Isaiah Stewart, James Wiseman. He gets kind of lost in a logjam of centers. So he comes here, and we've not even scratched the surface with him because he came midseason. And a lot of what he's been doing is without running the pick and rolls that he has shown he can do. We're talking about he's 4 of 11 beyond the arc since he's been here. Well, I mean, that percentage doesn't blow you away. And I'm not saying he's going to be a three-point shooter, but it shows, he can take more shots and maybe he makes more shots in this league where you need stretch center. So he's exactly why the Marvin Bagley trade was a great move because of the player, former number 2 overall draft pick, and the contract. It basically is giving you a year and a half to take a look at him, to give him a chance to audition to become that number 2 pick that he was originally. So it's not taking on a long-term risk, but it could be a big, big short-term gain. And yes, it's not as simple because the draft at its best is an inexact science. So yes, you high draft picks and are important. I'm not saying that, but that's not going to be the only way to success. And that's why the Wizards getting Marvin Bagley is significant. That's why he's in our pregame show tonight, because there's something going on with him that shows, okay, maybe we'll be the beneficiary of what the Pistons and Kings weren't. And I know the most dramatic example, but I've used it before. The Wizards, you know, let Ben Wallace go. The Magic let Ben Wallace go. Then he gets to Detroit, the fit and opportunity, and he ends up in the Hall of Fame, for goodness sakes. So I'm not saying Marvin Bagley's going to end up in the Hall of Fame, but I'm saying that's why you, in this league, you don't write off players too quickly because it is a team sport. It's a team sport. And so how they thrive and succeed might depend on the team they're with.
Dave, thank you as always. Great catching up.
Good guys. You were in Florida, right?
Yes, we're in West Palm.
Well, there you go. I'm loving hearing that and seeing that on Twitter.
Well, we appreciate you. Thank you. It's been a good trip so far. Let's get to the National Football League to close out the Blitz. Nate Davis, USA Today. Nate, I was watching Pat McAfee for a few minutes today. Schefter comes on, and he suggests, now, don't be surprised if Washington, if they're a trade-back candidate, were to engage in Kirk Cousins 2.0. I just don't think that's real. I think he's just kind of throwing something out there. What do you make of that?
First of all, I'm not going to tell you guys you're a great team. I heard Danny might be a cap casualty, Grant. You heard that?
That's right. Getting a little bloated. Production has dipped.
It feels like everyone's kind of getting linked to Kirk right now. I mean, it wouldn't make sense for – doesn't make any sense to me that he would come back here. I mean, certainly it's a clean slate here now for him if he wanted to. But it seems to me like Kirk wants to stay in Minnesota. It seems like he's not trying to get the best contract he could possibly get at this point. So, I mean, I think that they're still – the clubhouse leader. You know, he's been linked to Atlanta as well, and their new offensive coordinator, Zach Robinson, would probably make that a pretty easy transition for him schematically from Minnesota to Atlanta if that did happen. But I don't know. He feels like the domino that kind of needs to fall. I kind of feel like, you know, it's possible that once Kirk Cousins picks his spot wherever it is, that's when you might figure out, you know, what happens with Justin Fields and/or Baker Mayfield, et cetera. But
I was going to say that the other domino is Fields, right? And maybe, you know, one's got to happen before the other. But is Mayfield, is that a three-horse race? I've just assumed all along he was staying in Tampa. Is he actually up for grabs, do you think?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I mean, I think it's kind of the assumption he'll go back to Tampa. And I think, you know, seeing Mike Evans go back, I mean, you would think that, to me, that's kind of a signal that Baker might stay. You know, I don't know that Mike Evans would be taking a deal there as opposed to test the free market, you know, if he doesn't have any idea he's going to be throwing the ball in the next 2 years. But, you know, I mean, you can see where Baker would be attracted to teams like Atlanta or the Patriots or Minnesota, you know, wherever there ends up being a vacancy and you don't necessarily have that guy in place or a guy coming up in place or, you know, the cases of just, you know, for instance, you know, Patriots Minnesota, let's say, I mean, he would probably be an attractive option if you wanted a bridge quarterback and then you decided to take a, you know, J.J. McCarthy or whomever in the first round, but didn't want to play him right away. So, you know, it's not going to be like past years where there's a Russell Wilson, I think, or a Matthew Stafford or Aaron Rodgers in play. But, I mean, I think it is going to be an interesting little mini musical chairs here as we watch things play out.
Nate, I read your latest mock draft here on USAtoday.com with great interest. The trades and kind of some of the craziness of guys maybe slipping and falling, not to parse up every single reaction or every single piece, but what do you think the biggest surprise is going to be here in this early part of the first round?
I mean, great question. I mean, so much has to play out before we get to the first round. I mean, obviously, we've got to get through free agency. We've got to get through, you know, pro days and whatever they might reveal, which, you know, is probably even more overblown than what happens coming out of the combine. But I will say early on, I mean, to me, the Patriots at number 3 and the Chargers at number 5 are kind of the most fascinating teams right now. I think, you know, kind of early on in this process, it's been the assumption that we go 1, 2, 3 on quarterbacks. I think the Patriots, there's so little there. Their new director of scouting, Elliot Wolf, who grew up in the Packers organization, his father Ron is a, you know, Hall of Fame, NFL executive. I don't think that they're going to be doing a quick fix in New England. And I'm not sure, certainly after what we saw with Mac Jones, that they're necessarily going to take a quarterback this year and have such a, you know, kind of a thin support system around them. And then they do have a ton of cap space, but I don't know that he's going to spend all that right away. So I'm interested to see what they do. I think they're definitely a candidate to be a trade back team for somebody that wants a quarterback. And then the Chargers, you know, just so many directions they could go. I mean, obviously they're good with the quarterback. We'll see what happens in free agency with them. But, I mean, they've got Bosa, Khalil Mack, Keenan Allen, and Mike Williams, all with huge cap numbers, and they're probably not going to be able to keep. Definitely, I would say definitely not all 4 of them, and maybe not 3 of them. But I think that probably will kind of help dictate where they want to go. And you're one of Jim Harbaugh.
Nate, thank you, buddy. Good catching up.
Nate, thanks, guys.
See you, bro.
That is your Beltway Blitz. Dylan Cruz of the Nationals joins us next right here on The Fan. G&D on The Fan, our coverage of Nats spring training is presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Put our team in your office. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Go Tigers. It's time to welcome onto the show Dylan Cruz of LSU fame, national championship run in college baseball a year ago, the number 2 overall pick in the 2023 draft this past summer for the Nats, and now one of the top prospects in all of baseball here in big league camps. Thank you for the time. It's awesome to have you on the show. We were excited to get down here and chat with you, man. This is very, very cool to finally get to say what's up. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great, man. Thank you for having me.
How has this experience been coming to big league camp and almost belonging, right? I mean, this doesn't feel crazy from the outside looking in. What's it feel like for you?
Feels great. Everybody here has been very welcoming, and it's been a pretty smooth transitioning coming in here. And like I was telling a bunch of other people, it feels natural being in there and feels very comfortable being in there. And I think that all goes back to what the vets are doing and almost making feeling like everybody is welcome and not feeling like they're overpowering the younger guys or something like that. But it feels like a great locker room. Energy's great. Chemistry's there. So it's been great so far.
I imagine those first few weeks after the draft, it's a whirlwind. And then, you know, you make your debut initially, you're in Fredericksburg. Like, it's MLB Network's televising a game or whatever. Like, it's crazy. Have you gotten to a point where it's just baseball again and now you're just Dylan Cruz? Or is it still like you feel like every at-bat you're trying to prove something?
Nah, I don't feel like I'm trying to prove anything at all. Just going out there and being myself every day. And, you know, I look at it as like pressure is a privilege. You know, I think if you're feeling some type of pressure, then it's a good thing. You know, I see it as like I deserve to have pressure. You know, it's been a long and fun journey. So I just soak it all in and embrace it every day.
What's the best part of your game that people don't know about? I mean, it obviously stands out. You were put on the cert to square up baseballs, right? And the speed, I think, plays. It's obvious. But what's something that you do that people don't quite give you credit for that they don't know about?
I think the instincts, really. I think having like a sixth tool like that is something very overlooked at times. whether it's going to second on a tough play in the outfield or hitting your cuts. You know, I think that's huge. Just having that sense of knowing what's going to happen before the play is even happening, I think that's huge for a player and overlooked at times.
I was talking to you before the interview about my first and only trip to this point to LSU. I was just blown away. All I can talk about is that you have a tiger on your campus, Mike the Tiger. But the ballpark is so gorgeous right there, right off the – I don't know if that's a highway or what that is. Not far from, obviously, the football stadium. But, man, the athletics, everything there is just – you guys are churning out prospects in every sport. It's got to be a ton of pride that comes from that. But I also imagine, I mean, it's you and Skeens going in the top two picks in the draft. You guys are loaded again this year. You're going to have other guys going the first round. It's got to prepare you for playing in the minors or competing against guys in this clubhouse. It's almost like a big league lifestyle before you get to the pros.
Yeah, 100%. That's part of the reason why I wanted to go there. You know, you got the first off the fan base there is you're going to have 10 to 13,000 people there every single game.
Do they get 10 plus?
Oh, yeah, every game. So it doesn't matter if it's a midweek or a weekend game.
It's amazing.
You're gonna get a packed house. That's, I love that. I love feeling the energy from the fans there, and that was one reason. And then another reason, you know, it's just the resources there are amazing. We have every resource that you can imagine, and then the coaches there were just by far one of the best coaches I've ever had. So.
And then you're facing a hundo just about every night in the SEC at
exactly.
this point.
Yeah, I mean. You're facing big league caliber pitchers sometimes, you know. I mean, obviously you got Skeens, he's a big league caliber pitcher. So you're facing guys like that. You got really, really good arms nowadays, all across the country. So you're gonna face some really good arms, and it prepares you for the next level. But yeah, you know, I was talking with Kevin Gausman. Kevin Gausman comes back once in a while, and he said that was the main reason why he went to LSU is because of the fan base there. And if he wanted to play in front of 80,000 people a day, why not go to the school that packs it out the most?
If I remember, Gosman's like a Denver or like a Colorado guy, I think. So he came cross country. You're Florida, right? So we're in West Palm now. Where from in Florida? How far?
Originally Orlando.
Okay.
Yeah, now I got a place in Baton Rouge.
So for you, I'm sure you could go anywhere you wanted, but they made it pretty easy for you when LSU came call.
Yeah, for sure. It was an eye-opener. You know, for me, I didn't have a favorite school growing up. I was looking for boxes to check off. So, you know, I was very open. I visited like 15 different schools. And, you know, when I heard LSU was interested, went on campus. You know, I was, like I said earlier, some of the things the fan base, the coaches, resources, you know, academics, and then, you know, to top it off, the food there was just amazing. So that's a bonus, and it was a no-brainer. And as soon as I stepped on campus, I just felt like home.
Dylan Cruz with us here on Grant and Danny. What do you want to be this year versus what do you want to be 5 years from now?
From now, I'm trying to be a student as much as I can. I mean, I'm in a big league locker room with big league guys, mm-hmm. and I want to be asking as many questions as I possibly can, and that's what I'm doing. You know, you got guys like Winker, Gallo, Lane Thomas has been in the league for a while now, so try and ask as many questions as I can, what their approaches are, what their day-to-day basics looks like, what they do for recovery, all that type of stuff. Just trying to soak in as much information, and then even 5 years from now, I'm going to still be the student I am. You know, hopefully be in the league by a couple years, few years then. But still, I'm going to be the same student that I am now.
You guys are loaded with high-end prospects. Danny was talking about some of the competition and just the part of the locker room you're in over there where it's like walking down the MLB pipeline.
It's a cool little corner of the clubhouse
just
there. Yeah.
All the guys are – and you seem to all really get along and you're chopping it up. I'd imagine pushing each other, too. What have you made of James Woods' camp and just the first time you saw him? It doesn't look like a baseball player. It looks like he should be playing on Sundays or something. But
no, it's awesome. He's in my opinion, he's big league ready for sure. Just the way he handles himself every day and the way his at-bats are, it looks so easy, and the way he can hit anything at any moment. no matter what count it is, and be able to drive a ball 450 feet. It's unbelievable. It's pretty cool to see. But yeah, he's a special player, and I'm glad he's on my team.
How close do you feel of being that same plateau? I mean, you mentioned he's big league ready so far in camp. It's been unbelievable, but you've been no slouch yourself. How close do you feel where you go, you know what, I can do this every day?
Yeah, I mean, I feel ready whenever, but again, that's not my decision. That's obviously theirs, but you know, I got to improve. You know, I got to improve every day. It doesn't matter where I'm at in my career or position, where how I'm playing at that time. I got to improve. So, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, "You hit, you don't sit." So, that's what he's doing right now. He's hitting every single day. So, and man, he's gonna find a spot in the lineup one way or another. And you know, it's pretty cool to see. I think we got a really cool lineup going right now.
Dylan Cruz of the Nats with us here on Grant and Danny grinding here in spring training. Get his assignment, and hopefully sometime this year we're going to see him with the big club at Nationals Park. You mentioned the food at LSU caught your attention. What are some of your top seed options there? What would you like in Baton Rouge?
Like food?
Yeah.
Off the let's see. We're going to go – I mean, you got to go jambalaya up there. You got to throw some gumbo. I mean, it's different. Like, it's you got your seafood, but it's like a Cajun seafood. So
a little spice.
Yeah, you got your spice to it. Your crawfish is up there.
Were you into all that stuff before you went there? Or is that kind of just
not hold? At all? Not at all. And going there opened up my horizons a little bit. And now I can't get enough of it. It's so good. You literally can go through a drive-through there, and it'd be the best food you ever had.
I'd be so fat. Well, more so than now. No. Don't say anything, Dylan. 18 years, statue built of Dylan Cruz outside of Nationals Park. You open up like Dylan's Cajun Kitchen or like Cruz Kitchen, something like that. But maybe it's like both with a C. I'm just saying, things like that. Is that something you like? What do you want to do outside of baseball, kind of entrepreneurially or otherwise? What are some of your interests?
I mean, I got a few things I'm thinking about. I mean, I'm only 22 years old right now, so I kind of have
you have to know right now.
Yeah.
You have to decide.
I kind of have only like a plan A right now. Haven't gotten far that
just, past just trying that. To get two hits today.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe opening up a restaurant, that could always happen. You know, opening up a facility, whatever it is. Not really sure, but when that time comes, it'll be special.
My 5-year-old wants to be a fireman basketball player. Ideas. These are different ideas for you.
Yeah.
Right? You can be that.
Fireman and a basketball player.
A fireman basketball player. That's what he said. A basketball player that puts out fires also.
Minor league lifestyle can be a lot of fun, but also difficult, right? You guys are weird hours. You're getting there early. Not a lot open afterwards. How did you find just that transition of 3-4 days a week to, damn, every single day? We got another one coming last season.
It's a little tough transition. You know, for me, I had a pretty long year. I mean, it was 11 months.
Played a lot of games.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, 30 games in the fall to 70 games in the spring. And then 30, I mean,
all
30
those
more games.
College World Series games, that was no fun, I'm sure.
That was pretty special. Yeah. It was pretty awesome. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's what I'm going to be doing for every year from now on, you know. So something I had to get used to. Like I said, it was a good transition going in from to college to pro ball. You know, we're playing 3-4 times a week, like you said, and then now it's every day. So something I had to get used to on my body and on my recovery and my nutrition. That was huge. You know, it's live and breathe baseball, so you have a lot more free time. You don't have to balance, you know, your school and your practices and all that. So, you know, you have to really tone in on your nutrition and hydrating every day and your sleep. You know, having 12 hours of sleep every day, that was something that I took advantage of.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
12 is a show.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's like half
so
of the
jealous.
Day.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Kicks butt.
It's a good number.
Dylan, really cool to catch up with you in person, man. Congrats on everything and continued success, buddy.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
Dylan Cruz of the Nationals on Grant and Danny here on the Fan. He mentioned James Wood. He'll be on the show in about 1 hour at 5:40. Let's get you your NFL headlines next on G&D. Thank you to Dylan Cruz, Nat's top prospect, according to most of the pundits and experts around the country who rank prospects for a living. The other of their big-time star bats of the future, who has been the talk of camp, James Wood, who's trying to win a job out of spring training potentially, was not the expectation when we showed up here, but the 21-year-old seems to be mashing his way into the conversation. He'll be on the show coming up in under an hour at 5:40 right here on The Fan. Breaking NFL news today. How about Russell Wilson's release now being official? This is not stunning by any means. We knew this was coming. Just didn't know when, but ahead of the league year, the Denver Broncos have made it official. They have cut Russell Wilson. You knew this was happening the moment that they wouldn't let him finish the season on the field. They were protecting what was, you know, a contract kicking in for injury. They knew they were going to cut him, and at that point, they got him off the field, let him know, you're not going to be our future. But he did play a lot better this year. You know, as much a disaster as last season was, this year was serviceable. And it goes without saying, his relationship with Sean Payton wasn't awesome. At some point, you got to wonder about Wilson a little bit, because his relationship with Pete Carroll,
it's now two,
was also not great at the end, although they made a lot of good music together and I think liked each other for a long time. But this past year, he was a game manager, but he did some good things. 26 touchdowns, 8 picks. Danny, he was on pace for what would have been around 3,700 yards. So they didn't really give him a lot to do. It's not like he was throwing the ball down the field a whole lot. But he didn't turn it over and was pretty good in the red zone. Now you can bring him in. You could start him if you want to on the cheap, because they're going to have to eat a ton of money. So he's going to be able to potentially double dip or make very little for a new team this year.
It's the only thing I can think about with this. It's the, like, everything you're saying is true, and you're right to say it. This year, the dead cap hit is $49.6 million. That's this year. So, just to be clear, the Denver Broncos have a $49.6 million cap hit. Excuse me, I guess that's next year. That's the 2025 version. Over 2 years, it's over $85 million in dead cap. Unfathomable. It's the single largest dead cap hit in history, the history of this league. Now, that makes sense because the cap has gone up and contracts have gone up and you see these astronomical deals. But my goodness gracious, how untenable must it have been for them to not even say, your services are no longer required and we'll just eat the close to $100 million in dead cap. We're going to have space that we cannot use for two seasons while Sean Payton tries to compete in one of the toughest divisions in the sport. We'll do that without you. Man, oh man, I cannot get over that. I mean, it supersedes Matt Ryan's dead cap hit, Aaron Rodgers' the cap hit that Green Bay took this year just to move on from him, etc. When you combine this year's and next year's for Russell Wilson, over $85 million. Unbelievable.
How about just the career path for him and how sideways?
I mean, a Hall of Fame track, right?
Yeah, it's strange. Now, he was an MVP caliber player who never won an MVP award, but a perennial Pro Bowl type who led the NFL in touchdown passes once and, you know, threw 40 touchdowns in another season. Just became a mainstay outstanding quarterback for several years. He's going to be fine from a legacy standpoint because he's got his ring. You know, he won a Super Bowl. He's a champion. He made the 9 Pro Bowls. Heck, I mean, he might even end up being a Hall of Famer the way people kind of correlate wins and losses to performance. And maybe he's deserving of it because Seattle, even though it was a defense-first run-the-football team early in his career, you know, for his first 5 seasons in the NFL, it's double-digit wins. 8 of his first 9 years, the Seahawks were a 10-12 win team, sprinkled in some 13-win seasons in there, but consistently 11, 12 wins every single year, and he was right in the middle of it, and then it all kind of came crashing down. Where do you think he goes? Where do you think he starts this year?
Pittsburgh has come to mind for me. I could see Mike Tomlin as a good fit, kind of that father figure, but more nurturing maybe than Sean Payton. I don't think he had time for his antics.
Would the Raiders be interested in him with a quarterback they draft? Because you could bring
him
in.
Because it is on the cheap.
Yeah, you bring him in. Maybe it's a year of a veteran. And Antonio Pierce, you know, as a guy that it's all, you know, it's that kind of tough guy persona of we want to win every week. We're going to go 9-8 if we, you know, that's better than 6-11. We're going to make the playoffs. Maybe you draft and stash your quarterback, and Wilson is the guy they learn from.
Yeah.
I've never really thought of him as like the great mentor type. But maybe at this point of his career, he would be willing to do that.
Yeah, I mean, this is now throw stuff at the wall, right? Because there's so low upside for a team. Now, you would have him as a quote-unquote celebrity backup at this stage, given the deposits in the bank. But because it would cost so little, I could see a team like New England, for example, just going, we're going to try to build for the long term, and that we don't have a nest for a quarterback right now, right? Our line stinks. We have no skilled players. This is a multi-year rebuild. Instead of just taking the quarterback when they're there at 3, either May or Daniels, whoever falls to them. But I could see them doing something like that for the short term. I mean, if let's say for the sake of argument, Atlanta misses out on everybody that they would like in the carousel. They don't get Cousins. McCarthy goes before they pick, and they don't like Knicks or Michael Penix. I could see that. This is just such a wild odyssey. I mean, we're talking about a guy that...
Odyssey or odyssey?
It's not an odyssey. It's an odyssey.
Is it part audacious?
No. This is not. This is a journey. So
it's an odyssey.
Yeah, an ODD, like Odysseus.
Nothing
right?
audacious about it?
No, nothing audacious okay. there. I mean, this to me was, before these last couple of seasons, was quite literally the poster child to me of the go to a good situation, spoon feed the quarterback slowly but surely, then when it's time for him to make his money and he's entering his prime, he's excellent. You look at the growth in production over the years where he started off handing it off, they were playing Smash Mouth, it was the Marshawn Lynch show, and that was that Legion of Boom. Then, as he starts to make money, you have to make some sacrifices, sort of change the team around him. Over 4 years, averaged 35 touchdowns and 8 picks a season. I mean, that's just, they don't get, but you're going, yes, this is the plan. This, you know, he did it, Roethlisberger did it. It was kind of this good organization, this is the model, and it went so south so quickly. And now his career is going to be thought of totally differently, unless there's a third act here that's better than the last 3 seasons.
The Commanders made the big roster crunch that we were all anticipating before the league year early. They did it last week. I want to assess some of their needs next. Also, Adam Schefter today talking about the Commanders and Kirk Cousins as if that could be a thing. I just don't see it. We can explain why that doesn't make a lot of sense next on Grant and Danny. Here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.